Breaking It Down with Frank McKay. This is 103.9 LI News Radio.
I'd like to welcome everyone to Breaking It Down. Frank McKay here with Bill Millard, William Millard, author of the work My Adventure, An Encounter with Life. And what a story this is. This should be a movie, is what it should be. Unbelievable. Bill, welcome here, and congratulations on the book. It's getting rave reviews.
Well, thank you, Frank. It's a huge honor for me to be on your show. I appreciate you all calling.
Well, listen, if you don't mind, let's do a little bit of your history. And honored to have you, too. And as soon as you start telling your story, people will understand why. And if you can, let's start from the beginning. Where were you born and where were you raised?
I was born in Dallas, Texas. Unlike much of the country, we headed north when I was 2 and a half, I guess, and grew up in Muncie, Indiana, and which has been labeled Middletown America historically. Yeah. And a great place to work, grow up, I guess, because I grew up there. I outline it in a story about what I call my privileged beginning, or privileged life, really. And it wasn't about wealth and that sort of thing. It was just about happy circumstances. And we didn't particularly face death in our family. I had parents that stayed together, just wonderful things, kind of, you know, the usual challenges of what I'd call a maybe a for Muncie standards, an upper middle class existence, certainly not wealthy. But so I had some adventures that I was fortunate to do at a young age, even go around the world at 18, because I had an uncle that had an oil rig operated in Indonesia. So that's in kind of my background story. Various travels, and I went to SMU, Southern Methodist University, here in Dallas, was a history, political science type major, somewhat in journalism, and not sure what I was going to do, but you know, my mother kept reminding me, "Gosh, doctors and lawyers have big houses in the town, in our neighborhood." So I went to law school, and then a great, great professor friend in the business school talked me into getting my MBA at the same time, because everyone knew I probably wouldn't be a lawyer. but I really had a passion for journalism. But long story short, I ended up, of course, graduating from law school and passing the bar, and salaries were nice when they came and interviewed on the third floor of the library, all the big law firms. And I found a small one and started basically a practice that with five others. Ironically, my so-called boss, I ended up practicing with for over 30 years, though we went through four different law firms. And I was a corporate real estate development practice, especially. I ended up in, our firm merged into a Kansas City firm that was a big powerhouse. Then we started our own little firm, broke out of that for about 10 years. And then I joined a large firm, which was Brace Holm Patterson, one of America's top 100 in size. And they actually joined with Rudy Giuliani, so it became Bracewell and Giuliani, and I'll give a plug for their New York office. Yeah. There. But so I was there 9 years, and 9 successful years. I was an equity partner, very honored to climb the ladder that way, and then things started to change. My health changed. I had a wife and 2 children, and we lived in Highland Park, University Park area of Dallas, which is a very nice area, so our kids could go to public school. I was a member of a major church here, a Methodist church, and you know, it was an ideal life, facing the usual challenges of just keeping your work and doing well and having clients and that sort of thing.
Let me just remind folks, if they're tuning in later, just turning on their radios, Frank McKay here with Bill Millard. And William Millard is the author of My Adventure, An Encounter with Life. And again, up to where we're hearing, it all sounds pretty nice and idyllic. And I'll tell you what, if you ended this story there, it wouldn't be the powerful story that it ended up being. And the optimism that comes out of this man is so encouraging. Everyone's got to get this book. Please get this book and read it and get two of them. Get one for yourself and one who could really use a boost in life, or someone who's feeling sorry for themselves. Again, Bill Millard is our very special guest, Frank McKay here with Bill. Bill, if you can, continue on. And again, this is where, I guess, life throws you a curveball.
Yes, and that's what I called it. And in 2008, I began having some strange symptoms. Also, you might remember the real estate economy was really beginning to tank. I had a lot of sort of local developer clients and good clients that developed real estate. Well, that all, pressures of which we all face one way or another in work when things turn differently. And I started to develop, I developed ulcerative colitis. And it just started showing up. My performance wasn't as good. I knew things were tough. And what I didn't really appreciate was I was getting kind of out of sync. Things were harder for me to get done. I wasn't terrible, but I mean, it was, you knew you weren't on top of your game, and I was hearing more of that. Well, I did leave the firm and asked to leave in November 2009. So, I was very confident, 30 years practice, went to school here, lots of reason, and nice stable of clients. And what ended up happening was I wasn't finding work. And then I started doubting, I'd go visit friends, et cetera, or people I knew, and it just wasn't following up. So things were going wrong for me. And did seek counseling, and it was some stage, and fine fella that, of course, I wasn't totally believing it, which was natural. I had never had counseling in my life up to that point. It was sort of like, we just didn't happen to do that. But the result was he doubted whether I might be showing signs, or he questioned of a possible creeping dementia. I was 54 years old.
Wow.
And I've sent to be to neurologists and take these tests we all probably taken at some stage when they're checking out how your brain, can you remember these? What were those certain items, tools, and repeat them back. You do 12 of them, and then they throw in a little fun little curveball, like talk about something else, and then you can't really get them all right.
Yeah.
And wow. So long story short, they sent me to neurologists, and they come back, hey, we think you've got ALS.
Oh my gosh.
Early stages of what's known popularly as Lou Gehrig's disease, which is quite a diagnosis. Well, we even went to Mayo Clinic, and after a week of tests and things, one doctor may have doubted or questioned in the week of testing, but ultimately they decided, yes, it appears like ALS. Nobody really picked up much on the so-called dementia question.
Yeah.
And that became a really You know, I'm trying to find a new career. I'm not getting things done. Why was it so hard to do a resume or some, you know, mundane stuff? And in the end, it was too much on my family, and because I couldn't step up in many ways and, you know, meet basic expectations, we should say. Didn't have a job, salary quit then, or my share. And so ultimately, I was sent to Indiana, where my mother was still living at 85 in Muncie, Indiana. And so suddenly I'm home. And it's like, well, I can't be here long. I got, you know, family and I got a career, et cetera. Well, that was in, say, June of 11. And then things weren't getting better. We were having trouble finding any doctor that was really sort of a expert in, say, ALS. A diagnosis. And then September 11, according to my mother's incredible notebook that I've drawn on in this book, I had a mass seizures in the middle of the night.
Wow.
And of course went to emergency room. And when I woke up, I was comatose for about 5-6 days and never really together very well. I was in ICU for a few weeks. And then, so my story becomes really what my family, my mother and my sister, Anne, who stepped up brilliantly, you know, even though she has two kids and her wonderful husband's an anesthesiologist in Rockford. And, but they too changed their lives drastically. So, and then the adventure began as far as being at a facility in Muncie, a highly skilled care, out of the hospital, but in a long-term care facility. And that's a lot of my adventures there. And it was probably 18 months before my brain really what I called woke up.
Let me interrupt you right there for a moment just to remind folks that are tuning in a little late who they're listening to. Bill Millard is our very special guest, and what a book he has written, My Adventure, An Encounter with Life by William Millard. It's a must-read for everyone, and anyone who's feeling sorry for themselves, grab this book, because here's a man who's not feeling sorry for himself. Frank McKay here with Bill Millard. Bill, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but if I can just bring up one point about being comatose. Do you remember anything about it? I mean, you know, most of us would have no idea of what to even expect in a situation like that. Was it a dream state? Was it just nothingness? Is there anything
you
remember?
It was, to my recollection, it was pretty much not aware of anything. Some stages I knew I'd still have visual images of being in the so-called ICU at what was called Ball Hospital, major hospital there. And but during comatose, no. And then there was a few weeks of you know, I wasn't in my worst shape then, ironically. I had another series of seizures that are outlined in the book that went up through maybe January. So this was September, early September, and I was in October, I was in the skilled care facility, and through January, I kept going back to the hospital with, and that's where things turned bad. That's where I was now cognitively aware of being totally quadriplegic. I had big swallowing problems. They were very afraid if I ate anything, drank any water, drank, you know, had an ice cube in my mouth. I couldn't do any of that. I was aware my fingers could move and my toes could move. And then, and so what else do you add in here? you're barely talking. And my mother used the line, well, it was 18 months before I heard your voice really again, though I can remember communicating somewhat. But anyway, so it was a wild 18 months, if you will. And I include in the book some of my crazy dreams that, you know, I was cognitive, but I believed these things were really happening. And and they were pretty crazy. Yeah. And and so, you know, some of the highlight ones. I mean, I thought I was in Australia. I thought I was in Waco, Texas. I mean, there was no... there was no logic to a lot of this. Yeah. But and of course there were things that I was able to remember well about what it was like to being in a place like that and being one of the younger people, unfortunately. You know, so those observations, I think my book in part is to help people understand what it's like to be there. And it's not a terrible thing. I try to include some humor with it, because one thing I was credited with in this, I mean, believe me, I went along for the ride. I was no hero. I disagree with you there. I wasn't standing up and saying, we're going to defeat this. You know, there wasn't any of that nonsense. It was, what's next? And though I do remember, I had strong faith, and I didn't know my faith could take off that much, and I gained a great patience about, you know, what happens, and but I will tell you, I did pray at night occasionally, like, just let me wake up tomorrow, that'll be a great start.
And somewhere around the 2011, your wife and you were no longer together.
Yeah, they went, it was really too much. And so I was sent to Indiana. They did not come. Divorce proceedings were started. I was not that cognizant of it. So it was like, not shrug your shoulder, but I mean, it just wasn't, I was kind of informed. I wasn't really informed. They were afraid of all that as far as the doctors. And I had my sister stepped up like unbelievably, and then I had a wonderful friend described in the book. One of my critics kind of said, well, the book kind of compliments a lot of people, or thanks a lot of people. There were a lot of people I needed to thank. Yeah. And Bill Francis was amazing here in Dallas. He and his wife had an accounting firm, and they took over. All had to figure out all the financial arrangements, and with my sister, they were great support, and they had to handle the divorce. And of course, our concern was long term. The projection was I'd always be quadriplegic, and you know, yet could live maybe. But who knows? I mean, for a while. And though that's inconsistent with ALS, but. Anyway, so, you know, so I've always kind of been a joker, good with people, I think. That's one of my, I like people. And so I will say that a lot of people credited me with having a good attitude. And at one point, like one of the doctors said, this guy does not want to die. And, I wasn't a hero saying I'm not going to die, but it was more family attitude. My sister reminds me that when the doctors up there, you know, were talking ALS and what to do, she said, well, we chose not to believe it was ALS. So, you know, for whatever that's worth, I guess it was a familial attitude, shall we say.
Bill Millard is the voice that you're hearing, everyone. Frank McKay, with somebody who is a heroic figure in my mind, and heroes come in different shapes and sizes, and I'll tell you, not all bravado is created equal, and I'll tell you, just because you don't stand up and say, hey, I'm going to fight this, I'm going to beat this, it doesn't mean you're not saying it in your mind, or someone else, a higher power is saying that to you, and Bill Millard is here, and he's living proof of what one can do with their mind, whether they have use of their arms and legs and just whatever he had to do. He's still here after all of this, and not only is he here, but he's written an incredible book, My Adventure, An Encounter with Life, by William Millard. Please get this book. Frank McKay here with Bill. If you stepped away, I'm just going to repeat myself here and just remind folks that you're listening to William Millard. He is an author, an attorney who had been thrown a curveball in life, and everything was going beautifully. And just to kind of recap a bit, it was an idyllic life, and to write it up would have been flowery even for the 50s, the 1950s, and it was it was nice, and it was perfect, and everything else. And then all of a sudden, that curveball came, and he was diagnosed with different things, and they were trying to figure it out. And ALS is where they landed, and his wife served them with divorce papers, and his two children went with his wife, and he wasn't able to earn a living and whatever. Thank God for his mom and a sister and a dear friend, and shame on any critic of the book to complain that he's thanking too many
people.
Oh,
it was a mild criticism.
Yeah, mild criticism, but shouldn't have been there in the first place. William Millard here with us, Frank McKay, and welcome back to everyone. Bill, continue from there if you don't mind. Just kind of, where are you now? Where is your current
state? Yeah, well,
what
ended
state?
Up happening was, I was moved, September 11, October 11, I'm in the facility in Muncie. Well, we decided it was, my mother was unbelievable. She was so popular in the facility. I write about how I could hear her enter, and I wouldn't see her for 30 minutes because she's visiting with all these friends and patients on the way down the hall. Well, then I was sent to Park Strathmore, a place in Rockford, Illinois, where my sister and her family and her husband, Jack, I mentioned, and that was in September 13. So I was 2 years in Muncie, and then that was highly skilled, and that was an extreme experience in itself. And I, because of my real estate development background, I used to do a lot of creative projects for the legal work for some really dynamic developers. So it was natural. I like architecture. And it was just natural when I go in a facility, I'm kind of assessing how it works and doesn't work, et cetera. So I developed that naturally in these facilities, seeing what I thought worked and didn't work, what patients appreciated, how family would want to be there if you have certain things as opposed to other places. And so that's part of my book, especially the experience of something as simple as major windows is what people in assisted living who, mind you, can't really handle the most basics in life without help often, bathing, et cetera, eating. But they did love the lookout windows and out the front windows of this facility, and the mailman and the FedEx man and the families that came to visit a patient down one of the halls became their daily acquaintances, and that became really important to people. So I have a lot of opinions that might be another book, but a lot of opinions on how I would maximize designing a facility that makes visitors comfortable and want to come, and then exposes patients to visitors, et cetera, that become their friends, because days are pretty mundane, and as you can imagine. Yeah. And so I'm there for during the period there, I was there actually another almost two full years, and which would have taken me to August 2015. So during that period, I wasn't getting particularly better, but I wasn't dying. And that I had a good neurologist, and people were, you know, trying to figure out what's going on. he was not getting worse. By now, ALS, unfortunately, takes its toll on many people. You know, that's a lack of nourishment to your muscles is kind of a simple way of saying it. And I wasn't deteriorating. So I was sent to this brilliant, so I was told, brilliant neurologist at University of Chicago, Dr. Rosanio. It's the first chapter of my book where that day, and I was very aware of things, you know, I was wheelchair and everything, but he tested all day, morning, I tell about, hey, I recognize you have ALS. But I want to run some different tests. That afternoon, 4 o'clock, he personally runs these tests, and he starts getting quite excited. And he becomes convinced after, you know, I had, electrodes all over my body, little shock treatments, and I was reacting. And again, I had nothing to do with it. It's just fortune shined on me in that case, and can on others. I'm not saying it's, you know, to be expected. I never expected it. But he said, I think this could be something, a virus. And they do think ultimately that I suffered from a unknown virus. The bad news is one of 1,200. They can't be for sure. They said, now, I don't even think we could tell if we did an autopsy. So I was kind of, I don't really need to know that much. So let's right. not right. let's not do the autopsy. So I returned with optimism. And I mean, our family, my sister and et cetera, and friends, I had great friends in the Chicago area, Rob Toppy and friends that just were so supportive in many ways, but I was on a road to recovery. I went to I was sent to the Rehabilitation Institute of Chicago. It is humbly referred to as one of the finest in the world. In fact, USA, I didn't even know it existed, but US News for 20, 30 years in a row ranked it number one. So I was very fortunate to be at that facility with people really from all over the world. It was in downtown Chicago. And they got me to where I would hang from the ceiling and be on treadmills. You know, they never got me to be able to stand on my own, but I was 6 weeks there. And it was a remarkable, I called it like being at summer camp, because they had something planned for you, whether you're learning to write, whether you're learning to, you know, just physical things all through the day. And so we went home with more optimism back to Park Strathmore. And then the therapy became, let's improve him. And I tell about the day that I managed to stand up, about the day they had me take a step. The day, a couple days later, I walked 10 feet on parallel bars, holding parallel bars, and then walked back. And then the great day that I actually, with the help of a walker, very soon thereafter, I was confident enough to walk with a walker. Of course, people following me to catch or whatever, but I walked out through the lobby where all of my skilled care patients were. And it was a huge inspiration because no one had ever seen me walk. In hindsight, I felt bad in some ways because I knew that most were never going to be able to, you know, come back from their situation. Yeah. And there was every situation. But on the other hand, it became a very big positive. And shortly thereafter, now, it was a couple more years or another year, but I'm out walking the area. My sister's taking me out to lunch, et cetera. Or, you know, we'd go to Culver's and get my walleye sandwich and frozen ice cream. I mean, whatever was important at the time. But so that got me to where I was ready. I no longer belonged in the facility. And in August of 2015, I was moved. I got to go to an assisted living facility, which, is not skilled care. It's, you can get by. I mean, they help you in ways, but, so from that standpoint, so I was there about 5 months, and I really wanted to return to Dallas. I wanted to see the kids. I wanted, this was my home. This was where so many friends were, and it was time. And so I got to spend Christmas down here. And fortunately, the facility I was in Rockford was also operated a big one here. And they let me come down here on February 16. And then I was basically living with skilled care, senior independent people. Even though I was in so-called assisted living, I was much, much too healthy for that on a daily basis, I guess you'd say.
Hey, Bill, so, let me just remind folks once again, Bill Millard is the voice that they're hearing. What an unbelievable story. I'm blown away. And again, the name of his book is My Adventure, An Encounter with Life. And wow, the optimism and everything that you hear about and the power of positive thinking, it's just unbelievable. And so many people, when they hear ALS, they think death sentence, and if not, at least sentenced for life to a wheelchair and everything else. But just what an unbelievable story by William Millard. Get the book, please. Get the book. Frank McKay here with Bill Millard. Bill, I hated to interrupt you, but please continue.
Well, basically that. So the next 3 years, I'm at the place called the Forum in Park Lane in Dallas, a nice big facility. And I have pretty much free rein. I'm walking. I actually got a trainer. I'm at a fitness center here in town. I'm seeing friends. I'm back at my football games at SMU. I mean, everything. I didn't necessarily have the neighborhood or the career anymore. I'd nap, things like that, more than I used to, but I was able to get my strength. And what a wonderful experience for me to be in senior living. And I have a lot of positives. I write about it, but there are negatives. And so, it's not for everyone. My incredible mother is now into her 90s, and she lives at home with her garden and her dog and her great neighbors. And of course, because of COVID, we can't even go see her, but that's her need. But I can tell you, I hope the book sheds some light. In fact, a fellow did write a nice review on Amazon.com that, boy, he wished he had been able to know these things, and he gave it to his kids because he's in his 70s, and he wished he had known these things before they picked a place for their mother in assisted living. So,
Hey, Bill,
it's not a how-to book, but on the other hand, it's a lot of observations and positives. I learned a lot about being comfortable with death, being comfortable, and these were personal things, but it certainly changed my life. Then last June, I was able to move out. I'm living in a nice apartment building here in town, up on the fifth floor. I got my car. I hadn't driven in 9 years.
This is unbelievable. Just unbelievable.
Well, and then best of all, I got in the last month, I was hitting tennis balls with my son again. I can tell you, if anyone can hit it 4 feet on either side of me, though, I'm not going to cover it.
It's understandable.
I'll congratulate you for a pass, but if you hit it to me, I just might hit it back.
Bill, just unbelievable. What an unbelievable story.
I wanted to share the story because people would ask, and it was like, well, and maybe we'll talk another time. How I wrote my book and why I wrote my book really is an interesting story in itself. And I did not set out to write a book. This book took 6 years. And it took 6 years because I did like writing, and my sister gave me an iPad, and I was pecking out, while I was quadriplegic with one finger, little stories about what I saw going on. And so, if you'll pardon me, I can tell you, over time, I had some 28 little chapterettes, and that's kind of how the book's presented. Of things that went on, like the day the, I call it Roaring Thunder, the day they brought in a fella in hospice that was a leader of a motorcycle gang. And it was the most touching, loving thing to see this crowd of motorcycles appear for 3 days and do a vigil and saluting their friend and things. And so there's lots of these stories that will differ for others in a situation, but in a way are the same, and you know, something surprising. And so as a result, while I'm much better at the Forum in Dallas, senior living, and I'm not much of a senior then, but I suddenly realized, well, I've got like 30 little chapterettes. So I spent a couple years, literally, not always working on it, but pasting these together. And I do tell on my website blog about, you know, literally printing them all out and laying them out on a big conference table and putting them in order and then figuring out what do I need to fill in and tell the story. And then, so that's kind of how it came together. And then I was very proud to get it done, and you know, Kirkus gave me a nice review. It's a recommended title, not the highest level, but recommended title, and they called it insightful, inspirational writing and a sharply informative account of a patient's road to recovery. It's kind of their summary. So
this is a movie. This is a movie, Bill.
Well, I'm very proud, and far from a hero, far from perfect. You know, I'm not back practicing law because I'm really enjoying so many other things. Like tonight, I get to go see my Dodgers play the Braves in the NCLS or NLCS, I guess they call it.
Yeah.
So here in Arlington, of all things.
When would you ever have thought that you'd get to see your Dodgers play a home game? I don't know if they're playing a home game, but
game. Not, well, I mean, it's here, you know, because of this goofy situation, they're doing these championship rounds and World Series out here in Texas Rangers' new park. So
I
could not be luckier.
Yeah, well, listen, those words just go right through me. What a story. I had so little to go by. I haven't dug into the book yet, and wow, I can't wait. I mean, Bill, and again,
you'll
William
be receiving
Mullock,
a copy, my friend.
Well, listen, and everybody's got to buy this book, My Adventure, An Encounter with Life by William Mullard. Bill Mullard here with me for another minute or two. Absolutely blown away by the story. And I'll tell you, I had no idea. I had no idea where you were going. And the fact that you're up and you're driving and everything else. I mean, look, you know, people are living to 100, no problem now. I mean, it's a different world. How do you sum up? Can you sum up where you are medically right now? I mean, how often do you visit the doctor? How often?
I definitely will have side effects. I walk my dog, my new dog, what a great little Boston Terrier. I'm active in many ways. I do get somewhat tired. Yes, I still have a wonderful neurologist here at University of Texas Southwest Med School. And, he thinks that a major part of it was my getting an ulcer in 2008 and having that. And he says, he thinks, and it may be right, but we don't know, but that weakened my immune system and made me subject to getting a virus. And see, I went through pneumonia. I went through sepsis, I guess they call
sepsis,
it, during times at the hospital. I mean, there were many times that family was told a week would be amazing, including when I was moved up to Rockford. So the ongoing effects, I get treated for that situation. I have a tremendous, I mean, it's an expensive infusion once a month I go to, but I'm very pleased with my neurologists and medical care here at UT Southwest. And, and I have every reason to stay optimistic. I don't have a cloud hanging over my head, but who knows? And I certainly learned during all this. I've had a wonderful life. I decided I did by 54, and that's why I called it kind of a privileged existence in my definition of the term. And if you, we're not all going to be here all that long. I mean, forever. That's one consistency. And so I feel very, very comfortable that hey, celebrate what has been good in life. And I've got new callings now. I'm on some boards, and I look forward when COVID is over to speaking to many groups. And frankly, I'm holding myself out as a patient's perspective consultant to nonprofits or to organizations that either, and designers and architects, if you want to know. I had one architecture firm tell me, or on their website brag, every one of our architects has spent a night in assisted living. So boy, are we specialists. Well, I spent 7 years. Yeah. So wow. I got lots of observations.
Well, listen, let me.
I notice if the counter's too high or if the toilet roll holder allows it to spin off and go rolling into the other room and you can't get up to get it.
Yeah. Well, listen, I can't congratulate you more on the book, but on all of the success. I'm just blown away by the story. This is a book, and this is a movie should be made from this book. And the name of it, again, is My Adventure, An Encounter with Life. William Lard is the author. Bill, thank you very much. And give us a quick website or a social media site if you have one.
Yeah, my website, and I invite people. I'm doing blogs on things I didn't really cover in the book, or things like why I wrote the book, how I wrote the book, observations on the industry, various things that I didn't cover everything intentionally. And I do have Christian bent, but my book is not per se, by any means necessarily a Christian book. I just happen to be Christian, but I can work in those areas too, because I developed a really strong faith as a result of it, and that's here or there. But so my website is William Millard Author, one word, WilliamMillardAuthor.com. The book is available on Amazon and Barnes and Noble for independent booksellers. And I encourage people, please go to your independents, but ask for the book. They can get it. It's on the so-called Ingram warehousing distributorship that all the books are bought through. And,
just incredible. Incredible.
I give a hand to those independents. I'm very proud. I consider the best independent here in town, and Terabang Books is carrying it. And so
incredible.
Very honored.
Wow. Honored to talk to you. And listen, I'm going to remind Bill, thank you very much. Congratulations. Let me remind everyone to buy My Adventure, An Encounter with Life by William Millard. Bill Millard has been our very special guest. Get the book. It is an absolute must. Frank McKay signing off. Bill Millard has been our very special guest. My Adventure, An Encounter with Life by William Millard. Frank McKay signing off. We'll see you next time on Breaking It Down.